Welcome today, to the Lighthouse Church podcast.
We are going to start a new series.
Thanks so much for joining
series.
Us for this week's message.
It is called
We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives
God.
And partners with us.
And
to learn more about
like
what Lighthouse Church is doing in San
day,
Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay
like
Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com.
You know, we
like and subscribe so you don't miss any
us,
new content. Now,
we
check out this week's
other
message.
People and we think that they're extraordinarily or extraordinarily beautiful or extraordinarily strong. And, you know, I think a lot of us just kind of see ourselves as ordinary. I think actually we see ourselves as average, right in the middle. Whatever is, you know, shorter than me, that's short. Whatever's taller than me, that's tall. You know, like that. I see myself kind of right in the middle. And that's kind of, I think, what a lot of us do. But the cool thing about the Bible is that we can discover that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And that he's not really looking for us to be extraordinary. He's looking for us to be obedient. And so I believe that by the end of this series, you are going to be confident that God can do great things through you. And not just confident that God can do great things through you, but that he wants to and that he will. And so we're going to look at two women today. Two ordinary women. First of all, because I think that women are very cool and very special in the Bible. But there's some really ordinary women that do extraordinary things for God in Scripture. And so we're going to be in Exodus chapter 1. Our Scripture is Exodus 1, verses 8 to 22. So here's what's going on. This is what ends up happening is just a little backstory. Joseph is a guy who ends up getting sold into slavery by his brothers. And then he ends up in Egypt. And through a series of events and through God revealing himself through Joseph, Joseph ends up second in the kingdom in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And he helps save a lot of people that were, like, there was a famine in the land, and Joseph's preparation and vision and leadership saved a lot of people. And not just the Egyptians, but Joseph's own family, the family that, you know, intended to harm him, God used that stuff for his good. So, but what ends up happening is Joseph's family ends up moving to Egypt, and then you know, Joseph dies and all his brothers and all that generation, but the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so the land was filled with them. All right, so what started out with just one guy named Joseph ends up being a whole lot of the people of Israel living in Egypt, okay? Now, verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He didn't know what Joseph had done and how he had saved the people of Egypt through that famine. And he said to his people, "Behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. They built for Pharaoh store cities. And what happened was the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread abroad. And the Egyptians were in dread of the people of Israel. So they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in all kinds of work in the field. In all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves. And I want you to hear the picture of this. This is not just working for no pay. This isn't just plowing a field. I think that making the brick and mortar and what was going on in Egypt, what they were building, it was like brutal work. And I'm thinking that their whole bodies were getting this mortar, this material on them. And there wasn't like, it wasn't like it is today. There wasn't just like washing it off. I mean, they were oppressed. They were working really hard and they did not have the equipment that we have today. And they did not have the fans or the air conditioning to cool off in afterward that we have today. And they were being beaten down. Then the king of Egypt, he got an idea. He said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shipra and the other Pua. These are the two women that are the heroes of our story today. These are the ordinary people that are obedient to an extraordinary God. This Pharaoh says to them, when you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, why have you done this? And let the male children live. The midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them. So God dealt well with the midwives. It's very interesting. Because what I'm seeing is that they kind of were lying, right? But they feared God more than they feared the king. Okay? And it says, verse 20, so God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very strong. They kept on multiplying. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Other translations say homes, houses, household. Some say that it was more than just one generation of family, but it gave them like a great inheritance as a result of their obedience to God. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. So Pharaoh realized that his plan was not working, and he was determined to find a way to decrease the population of the Israelites and their power. But this is a very, very interesting scripture because these women, like I said, are very ordinary. I believe from some of what I've read that this might have been a mother and daughter duo that were midwives. All right, so they're serving as midwives, and they are Hebrew also. And they're given orders from Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. I don't know if we understand what it's like to get orders from a king. Like, they're being summoned, they're being brought before the king, and then they're given some very direct orders. And it's not like we live in a Democratic Republic here in the United States, right? Where if the president tells me to do something, I don't really have to do it. You know, like, it's not like he is king, right? In this day, in this age, in this type of rulership and kingdom, it was like, this could be death for you to disobey the king, like death, okay? So the midwives getting a direct order from Pharaoh, they had this instinct, and they knew that it was wrong to kill these babies. They knew it. And so they didn't do it. They didn't do it because it says they feared God. They feared God. They feared God more, I believe. They feared God more than they feared the king. As scary as he was, as powerful as he was, they had this thing in their minds and in their hearts where they saw God and they knew who he was. And they chose, actually, to obey God. I think that, actually, this is the first recorded act of civil disobedience that's in the scripture, where the rulers tell them to the people to do something and they don't do it. But here's what happens. Pharaoh's first plan backfires on him, right? He thinks that he afflicts the Hebrews, makes their jobs harder, and they're going to break. They're going to give up. They're going to diminish. But it had the opposite effect, right? What ended up happening was it somehow made Israel stronger instead of weaker. I don't know. I mean, this has kind of always been the case, I think, with God's people. There's something about suffering and persecution that produces growth. That's why when people tell me that things are not good in the United States as far as religious freedom and all these types of things, I say it's not the worst thing that could happen to us, honestly, because there's something about being persecuted for your faith. Jesus was persecuted. And so if they did it to Jesus, how much more to us? And even scripture says, blessed are you. Blessed are you, even when people come against you and say false things about you and all this kind of stuff, because great is your reward in heaven. Like, there's this picture in, like, all throughout scripture that suffering on earth is not the worst thing that can happen to us. And I don't know about you, but I've noticed in my own life when there's been, like, some pressing and some discomfort, it has forced me to look at some things in my life, and it's forced me ultimately to grow. And so I think that Pharaoh didn't know how God works with his people and how, you know, think about it. Even when Jesus was going around teaching and healing people, when the authorities tried to stop him and come against him, Jesus got more popular. His fame spread. People got more excited about the miracles, and they started to spread Jesus' name. I mean, Stephen was a guy who in the New Testament was martyred for his faith. He was stoned. Rocks were thrown at him until he was killed. And Paul was helping, well, he was Saul at the time, but he was helping throw all kinds of Christians into prison. And the word of God spread. It says the disciples scattered. Maybe they were scared, but what they ended up doing was bringing the gospel more places, because instead of staying in that one spot where they had been, they start going all over the place. And then guess what? Now a whole lot of more people know about Jesus. So again, what was meant to harm, what was meant to destroy or diminish or discourage, ended up being a catalyst for growth and for the spread of God's name and for more people to get free. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." Don't be surprised. I don't understand when Christians act upset or indignant about getting some persecution or somebody talking bad about them for their faith or questioning their motives or calling them a hypocrite or whatever, you name it. I'm like, have you read your Bible at all? Because even right here, like from the very beginning, we're in Exodus 1 here, like there's persecution. And God is very clear all through the Bible that we're going to experience some stuff along the way. Following Jesus does not guarantee that you will never experience pain. You will never have somebody come against you. But what it does promise is the opportunity for growth and for peace and for joy. And so God's plan is to grow his people. And it will not be stopped by anyone or anything at any time. And I really believe that. I know that there have been some really cruel governments. Pharaoh's not the only one, okay? There's a lot of rulers in authority right now on earth that are selfish, that are greedy, that are evil. But nothing will stop the plans and the purposes of God in your life if you stay obedient to him, if you stay obedient to him, and if you fear God more than you fear man. There was actually a guy named Gamaliel, a Pharisee, who said in defense of the apostles in Acts 5, 38 to 39, he says, if their plan is of man, it will fail, but if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. Like that there is nothing that's really going to stop the plan of God. So just wait and see. Just wait and see, because if God is on it, God is going to bless it. And God is going to show his power. So the growth of Israel made the Egyptians even more afraid. And they made the Hebrews' lives even harder. And I mean, just this life of being a brick maker, this is back-breaking work. This was like the worst kind of physical slavery. It was dehumanizing, okay? This was nothing small, all right? This was very significant, but they kept growing. They started spreading out across Egypt, all right? And this word in Exodus 1 that's used to describe the hard labor that Pharaoh imposed on Israel in verse 14, it's later used to describe God hardening Pharaoh's heart. So it's like Pharaoh made their work hard, God made Pharaoh's heart hard, all right? So these women, Shipra and Pua, these names are important. You know why? Because scripture actually names them. And Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, he doesn't get named here at all. He's just Pharaoh. He's just king. It's like saying the White House did this or the federal government did that. We're not even dignifying it with a name. But scripture gives these women their names and actually specifies Shipra and Pua. This is important because it's honoring to them. Like when Moses writes down their names here, he's honoring these two really ordinary, lowly women and saying, like, what they did is worth honoring. It is worth celebrating, and it should be remembered. Do you realize? For generations to come, that people would know their names and know what they did, not because they are special, but because of their obedience to an extraordinarily special and powerful God. That is what we can take away from this. I don't want you to think, wow, these women were just incredibly courageous and brave. You know what? They were probably really, really scared, probably terrified. I don't know that, like I said, we don't know about that here in the United States, that kind of power. Sure, I'd be nervous to meet the president, But if he asked me to do something I didn't want to do, I'd say, so sorry, but no thank you. And I would probably assume that I wouldn't be thrown in prison or killed because there'd be phones all around, people recording things, right? And so now it's kind of really hard to get away with a lot of those things, right? Not so in Egypt. Just kill him and nobody ever sees him ever again. This is terrifying. I want you to hear this, how scary it is to stand up to somebody like that. There are some rulers today, world leaders, that I would be very scared of. I don't want them to know me. I don't want them to know my name because I know that they're very selfish and they're very evil and I matter to them not at all. Okay? But these two women, they disobeyed this very scary king, this very powerful king, because they feared God more. Do you hear what this scripture is saying? So it's not about the fact, like, it's sometimes very scary, the situations that we're in. But if we have a conviction in our heart, if we know that what God, like, if we know God is asking something of us, and our fear of God is greater than our fear of man, then we will do what God says no matter what the consequence, because there's something inside of us that says, I know I have to do what God says. So man is scared of Pharaoh. Man fears that king, that leader. But, and scripture says, give to Caesar, give to the king what is the king's. Give to God what is God's. I'm not saying don't pay your taxes or things like that. What I'm saying is, the king is asking them to kill baby boys, and they knew that that was not of God. They knew it, and they had to say no. But then they were scared to say no, so they lied, but they didn't do the thing that Pharaoh was asking them to do. So your fear of God, I think your fear of God has to outweigh everything else that you're afraid of. Okay, I'm not saying these women were really brave and really courageous, because like we said, they lied. That tells you how scared they were. Okay, they were just ordinary women, terrified out of their minds. But they understood the power of God. They were more afraid of him than of anybody else. We have to think about this. Like, what do you fear? Like, do you fear man? Do you fear, I've seen women afraid of their own children. I've seen women afraid of their husbands. I've seen women afraid of their bosses, of their future. And I think that when you encounter God and see him in all his greatness and all of his glory, there comes a moment where you fear God more than anything else. And so these women disobeyed the command from Pharaoh. They allowed the boys to live. And why only the boys, you might ask, in case you missed that part. The boys would grow up to be soldiers. The girls, they could easily assimilate the girls into Egyptian culture through intermarriage. You know, they could marry the women off to the Egyptian men, and they could just kind of mix them in. But when it came to those boys, they would be trained up as men that are strong and powerful, and they could be soldiers that could come against Egypt. So that's why they feared them so much. So these women that feared the Lord, I'm thinking about this phrase, the fear of the Lord. Do you know how many times the phrase fear of the Lord is used in the Bible? It's like 100 times. Like 100 times. It's talked about a lot. But it's not about being scared of the Lord. We've talked about this before here at church, because I think it's very important to get the distinction. Because a lot of people are scared of God. They're scared of God knowing their thoughts. They're scared of God knowing what they've been up to. They're scared of God judging them. They're scared of not going to heaven. They're scared of those types of things. The fear of the Lord is not being scared of him. But the fear of the Lord, I don't know, it's Deuteronomy 10:12 actually says it like this. It talks about fearing, loving, and serving the Lord together. So those three things go together. Psalm 130, verse 4 says, with you is forgiveness, that you may be feared. So there's something about forgiveness and grace that increases our fear of the Lord, like recognizing how great he is. All right? So it's something that this fear and this awe of God, as we learned last year when we were going through a series on the awe of God, it's something that compels us to be obedient to God. It causes us to like put him in such high esteem and to revere him and to trust him and to worship him. So the fear does not make us scared of him, but it's actually something that draws us close to him, and it causes us to be obedient to him and to do things that we wouldn't ordinarily do. We would not be so courageous on our own as to say no to a king of Egypt, right? But there's something about the fear of the Lord. Tim Keller said the fear of the Lord is a life rearranging, joyful awe and wonder before the greatness of who God is and what he's done. It kind of rearranges everything about our lives. It changes our priorities. It changes what's important to us. It changes the motivations of our lives. It changes our actions. So it means that God becomes central in your life. And so I kind of just feel like I have to ask us the question, is there anything in your life that's not yielded to God? Is there anything you're holding on to out of fear of man? I think that's something that's pretty common for us, where we'll hold on to something out of fear of man. God is just so gracious to us, but what you fear is what's going to control you. What you fear is going to direct you and direct your actions. And so I want to encourage us that, you know, there are going to be people who are going to ask you to do things that aren't honoring to God. I want to encourage you, honor God anyway, because God does extraordinary things. God does extraordinary things when we are obedient to him, when we are willing to serve him, to obey him, and to allow his spirit to lead us and control us and motivate us. There's other examples throughout history that I was thinking about where some people stood up for what was right, you know, and it was very difficult. The first one that just came to my mind very quickly was with Nazi Germany and the Holocaust of the Jews, right? This is another instance where the Jews were being eliminated and exterminated and being tortured and dehumanized, right? And there were people who were very courageous and very brave and used their homes as hiding places for Jews. And there's some of them actually gave their own lives for it. Corrie Ten Boom is a very famous one because she survived the concentration camps after her family helped save more than 800 Jews, all right? But her dad and her sister, they lost their lives in those concentration camps. And so she went on to talk about forgiveness and healing and to look in the eyes of those that have treated you horribly and even taken the lives of your own family and to still extend God's grace and his love and his forgiveness. And so there's something really powerful that happens when you fear God more than you fear man. And so I'm wanting us to close this time with just taking a moment to consider, what are the things that are controlling me? And where, God, am I fearing something else more than I'm fearing you, because there's going to be some courage that's going to rise up in you. You're going to become very, very brave, and you're going to be able to defend the defenseless. Even last week, Pastor Bernie was talking about, you know, being people who don't just go past the person lying on the side of the road that's hurting and in pain, but that there's something that God does in us where he compels us to want to help, like to be that person. So I want us just to take a moment, and we're going to pray, because I believe that God wants to do some extraordinary things through us.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.